Chapter 4, in which it stops raining forever and something slinky comes out of the river. Nobody could remember anything like it. It had not rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and it kept getting hotter. Little streams high up in the forest became lazy and lost their sparkle. The boggy bit near Eeyore's gloomy place stopped being boggy, and the big river became no more than a trickle, so that Roo could hop across it, jumping from stone to stone without getting his tail wet. Then it got even hotter. In his thick coat, Tigger hardly bounced at all, while Piglet would go to lie in Eeyore's shadow, and Eeyore would swish his tail to keep the flies away. Still, Owl's barometer said, "Set fair." And when he tapped it, it still said, "Set fair." And when he tapped it again, it fell onto the floor and the glass broke, but it still said, "Set fair." And still there was no rain. The river got thinner and thinner until it was little more than a few paddling pools, which Roo went paddling in when Kanga wasn't looking, and sometimes when she was, and when he came in for tea, he left little paw-shaped patches on the carpet. At the bottom of a dried-out hollow, Eeyore found an old tin trunk with HMS Fortitude on the side, and thought that if it ever did rain again, this would be a good place to store the water. Christopher Robin and Pooh helped Eeyore to drag the trunk out of the hollow, then sat on the grass to rest. Pooh said to Christopher Robin,
"It's all very well for you, Christopher Robin, because you can take your things off, but I can't take my fur off."
Christopher Robin was too hot to reply. Then one day, which some said was the hottest yet, and others said was the hottest ever, something long and slinky and furry and whiskery came out of what had once been a river, but now was little better than a mud patch.
"Hola!"
said the silver and silky slinky thing, sitting up straight as a beech tree and looking around with beady eyes.
"What has a self-respecting otter to do when she can't have a bath? And," she added in a haughty voice, "when she has nothing to eat?"
"Are you talking to me?"
asked Rabbit, who was bringing what was left of his washing to what was left of the stream.
"And who are you, Longears?"
"I am Rabbit," said Rabbit, startled and rather offended. "And who are you?"
"I am asking the questions, Bunny Rabbit. Unless you are cleverer than I am, which I don't suppose you are, looking as if you have just been dragged out of a conjurer's hat."
Rabbit was so worried at being spoken to like this that he didn't know which way to look. When the slinky thing saw this, she grunted a few times, which was as close as she could come to a chuckle.
"Well, Bunny, if you must know, my name is Lottie, but you haven't answered my questions."
"What were they again?"
"I can't remember," said Lottie.
"I'll go and ask Christopher Robin,"
said Rabbit, and scuttled away a little faster than usual. Christopher Robin was looking at an atlas.
"I wonder why so many of the countries are pink," he said.
"I haven't got time for all that now," said Rabbit.
"Well, if you were to visit them, the ground wouldn't be pink, would it? And if the world is round, why is the atlas flat?"
"Oh, dear,"
said Rabbit, beginning to panic because of so many questions in a single morning. Not knowing the answers, he changed the subject.
"Anyway, Christopher Robin, there's a slinky thing just come out of the river, and it wants a bath and something to eat. I think it's an otter."
"I've got a bath," said Christopher Robin cheerfully, "and there's some potted meat in the larder. Do you think that would do?"
"Perhaps you should come and ask it yourself."
By the time they got to the oozy bit that had once been a proper stream, quite a few of the animals had gathered around the otter, who was twisting and turning in front of them like a ballerina in a musical box.
"My name is Lottie," she announced. "See my fine fur coat, which is the colour of silver when the sun shines upon it, and pewter when it's cloudy, and see," she added, "my golden eyes and my long tail, which I call my rudder. It has been much admired for its length and flexibility. And beware, she concluded, my red tongue and my white teeth, which are sharp enough, I can promise you, when they need to be. Then, just when the animals were becoming alarmed, she rolled over a few times and slithered off to hide behind a bush. Catch me if you can, she cried. Bet you can't. For a while, the animals tried their hardest not to find Lottie, which was difficult because her tail was sticking out a good 6 inches from behind the bush. But then Tigger accidentally stepped on it, and Lottie made a growling noise so that the game was up. Welcome to the forest, said Christopher Robin quickly, before anything more disturbing could happen. I'm Christopher Robin, and you're welcome to have a bath at my house if that's what you would like. Lottie reappeared from behind the bush and bobbed her head gracefully. Thank you so much, Mr. Robin. I would not trouble you if I were not in great need. Then they all made their way to Christopher Robin's house, where Christopher Robin ran a bath and helped Lottie to climb in. Colder, Mr. Robin, she said. I like it nice and cold. It keeps me alert. She swam around for a while, tossing the sponge into the air and catching it, and curling herself into a tight ball and spinning around with grunts of satisfaction and delight. But when Christopher Robin offered her potted meat, Lottie said, "Eels and frogs are what otters eat, so that is what I shall expect for my supper." "I don't think we have eels or frogs, Lottie, but would sardines do? Are they Portuguese?" I expect some of them are. Are they in olive oil or tomato sauce? Gosh, said Christopher Robin, who was not used to being quizzed like this, not even at school, and went to the larder and came back with a tin. In the best houses, said Lottie, they serve both kinds and have pilchards in the servants' quarters. Christopher Robin wrapped Lottie in a yellow blanket and carried her into the sitting room. He brought her sardines in olive oil on a blue dish, and she ate them hungrily, chewing up the crunchy bits and commenting, not bad. And now, she said, I shall play you a tune on my mouth organ. She did it very prettily, so that the animals clapped and the bolder ones shouted, Bravo, Lottie! Thank you! I believe I shall stay, she told them, curtsying.